Take your Bible tonight, if we'll, to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, Brother Blanton, give me all the juice you can give me there, all right? Don't have a lot of voice tonight, but if I have to, I can lean into the microphone, all right?
There you go, amen.
Jonah chapter 1, if you will. Very familiar passage of scripture. Well, I think it is. It is to me. I think it is to most of you. There in verse 1, the Bible said, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." I want to speak to you tonight on mistakes Jonah made. Mistakes Jonah made. Now, he made several. You got to give Jonah credit. When he made mistakes, he made big ones. All right? He made big ones. But let's face it, we all make them. We make mistakes. You can count on it. We're going to make them. And, I thought about saying I got good news and bad news. The good news is you're in the good crowd if you make mistakes, because we all make them. The bad news is no matter how hard we work at it, there's really not much chance that we're, not much chance in life that we're ever going to be completely free of mistakes. We'll still make mistakes, all right? You've made them. Most of us make a lot of mistakes, you know? And I've made a few in my life this past week. And then before that, a lot more, you know? But just admitting that, though we really get to the truth, we ought to consider, we don't have to keep making the same mistake. We don't have to keep making the same mistake. But even better news is we can learn from the mistakes of other people. One of the great things about the Bible, there are people today that would tell you the Old Testament is not for Christians today. Now, those folks are usually messed up somewhere else too, all right? If nothing else, the Bible says, what happened to the folks in the Old Testament is an example for us. Is an example for us. And boy, one thing we ought to do, we ought to focus in. We ought to learn from them. When I preach to you out of the Old Testament, I hope you learn from Old Testament characters. Learn from those like Abraham and what he did right, and how he trusted God, and how he was faithful to God, and what God did for him, and how he blessed Daniel, as Daniel was faithful, how he blessed Joseph, who in the midst of adversity still clung to his God. He didn't quit on God, and God didn't quit on him. We learn from those things. But man, also let's learn from the mistakes that people made in the Bible. You know, it's absolutely crazy to make the same mistake somebody else has made when we know what they did and what happened because of it. I mean, that's just goofy. If you grew up, how many of you grew up in a family, you were the only child? Only child. Raise your hand. All right, one, two, three. Just three. Hey, bless your heart, you had to make all the mistakes. Had to do it all by yourself. You couldn't look at an older brother or a younger brother or younger brother, or older sister, younger sister. You couldn't look at them and go, well, that was stupid what they did. I'll need to mark that down. Don't do that, okay? You had to make them all yourself, you know? Man, I tried to learn from the mistakes my brother made. Now, I never made any, so he couldn't learn from mine. But, hey, we make them, you know, and we watch. Hopefully, we watch what other people do. Well, because of that, tonight I want to preach to you on the mistakes Jonah made, not so we can emulate them, but that we can avoid them, okay? Now, let's avoid them. I really enjoy preaching preventative messages.
Yes,
I would a lot rather preach preventative messages than corrective messages. All right? I'd rather prevent it, you know? So I want you to notice, the very first thing is he made the mistake of not obeying God. Very simple. Made the mistake of not obeying God. Look, verse 2. I know it's old English. This is that old King James Bible. And I know you have a hard time understanding when it says, arise. You say, what in the world does that mean? All right? And then go to Nineveh. Cry against it. Three things God told Jonah to do. Arise. He said, you get up, you go to Nineveh, and you cry against it. Look, every one of us understood that right there. It's simple, plain. The command of God to Jonah was very plain. It wasn't hidden in allegories or allusions or anything like that. It didn't use metaphorical manners of speaking. And you said, what is that? I don't know. I heard it in English class. All right? But all of that stuff they talk about, you know, it's not here. It's real plain. There's no way Jonah could have said, well, Lord, I didn't understand what you meant. I mean, you confused me. I mean, three things at once. How do you expect me to keep that straight, you know? No, he couldn't come at it that way. He couldn't plead ignorance. He couldn't say, I didn't understand. He understood. He understood completely. He knew what was going on. It wasn't ignorance at all. He had it. Can I say this to you? I believe we as Christians, we stand in the same condition today. I don't believe we stand today in a condition where we can say, well, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. There's so many things in the Bible God commands us. They're the command of God. And you know, just pick one, okay? Just pick one. And the Bible said in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in the manner some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Yes,
hey, don't forsake the assembly. You say, what does that mean? It means go to church.
Amen.
It means go every time the doors are open, okay?
Amen.
Don't skip, just get faithful about it. That's simple. That's simple. Very simple. Just go on. There's so many commands of God. The Bible commands us to witness to people. Go and tell people, all right? And just go out there and let them know and give the gospel to them. It's a command of God. We understand it's the command of God. That means we're responsible to do what he's commanded us to do. We are responsible to do that, okay? We can't plead ignorance. The problem is we disobey. The disobedience to the command of God on the part of a Christian is a terrible sin. Terrible sin. Our problem is we don't look at it that way. We look at it as a little thing. We look at it as a little thing. Okay, well, I'm not going to do that. Let's just use going to church, all right? We'll use that example. I'm just going to skip this one service. It's not that big a deal. But who told you to go? Who told you to go? God told you. God told you. Now, I don't know what it was like when you were growing up. My dad never weighed his commands. He never rated them on a scale of 1 to 10. And he never said, now this one's a 10, you be sure you do it, all right? This one's a 1. No, the 1's, the 10's, you better do them, all right? And he just expected all of them to be obeyed. How much more should we obey God? Just do what God says to do. But we reject that. We disobey him. We need to get to the point. We never think it's a light thing to disobey what God's commanded us to do. Don't go through the Bible and say, well, that's a big one. I've got to do that. But that one, it's not so big. Wait, it's a command of God. It's to be obeyed. It's to be obeyed. It's not to be ignored. It's not like driving. It's not like driving on the freeway. We get out on the freeway, we see the speed limit sign. And you're driving along, and man, I don't know if you're like me. I've seen all these deals where people show pictures, and they show three lanes on the freeway, and they say this one is for people that are just not in a hurry at all. And the middle one is for ones that are, you know, only going to do about 5-10 miles an hour over the speed limit. And the inside lane's open. You just let her rip, you know. Well, it's not that way. That speed limit is for all three lanes, okay? You say, well, it's not that important that we obey it. Might not be. You might want to say, well, it's more important that we obey the sign that says, do not enter. You hear about a fellow, he took off, left the house, and he's on his way and driving, and he got a phone call from his wife. And she called him. She said, honey, be careful. She said, I've just heard there's somebody driving the wrong way on the freeway. And he looked up and he said, I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot more than one. All right? You might look at it and say, well, it's more important that you get in the right lane going the right direction than it is that you obey the speed limit. You might make your argument there all you want to, but you can't make that argument with God. You can't argue with him and say, this commandment is not as important as this one was. And it's okay if I'm lax in obeying this one, but I'm real careful in obeying this one. No, it's a mistake to not obey God. It's a mistake not to obey God. I don't care who you are. You said God never called me to go to Nineveh. Great, but that's not the only thing there is for obeying God. We're just to obey God, all right? We're to obey him. So, number one, Jonah made the mistake of not obeying God. Number two, he also made the mistake of running from God's will. Running only makes disobedience worse. Running just simply makes disobedience worse. Jonah honestly could have avoided the trip inside the whale, all right? But he made what was coming a lot worse than it had to be. Because he decided, I'm going to run from God's will. I'm not only not going to obey it, but I'm going the other direction. If you look on a map from where Jonah was in Joppa, okay, and where he boarded the ship, Tarshish was almost the opposite direction from where he was supposed to be headed. Almost the opposite direction where he was headed, all right? Why? He made the mistake of thinking, I can run from the will of God. You may not realize it, but you might as well realize that when you disobey God, there's going to be a whooping. I like to listen to Brother Tony Hudson preach on YouTube, and I get a kick out of him. He's a country fella. He's a camp meeting type preacher, and he's Curtis Hudson's son, and I enjoy listening to him preach. And he said, when I was a kid, we never got a spanking. He said, we got a whooping. We got a whooping, you know. And I look back on it, hear him describe it, and I think, yep, you know, I got a whooping too. It wasn't a spanking, huh? Dad never told us, now son, hold still, I'm going to give you three licks. He never did that. I really think maybe he only intended to give maybe five or six, but he'd lose count. And so he'd start counting over, you know. No, not really. But man, I mean, it was whipping. Why? Well, because of disobedience. Disobedience. Now, take your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read some verses. You're going to say, preacher, we've heard that before. Yeah, but it's good to be reminded of things that we know, all right? It's good to be reminded of what we know. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, we find these words where the Lord was speaking, and he says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Hey, when you disobey God, there's going to be a whipping. There's just going to be a whipping. You can mark it down. It's coming. God never forgets. I remember as a kid, Dad on a few occasions told either myself or my brother or both of us, many times as both of us, we usually got in trouble together, and he would say, "Son, when I get you home, I'm going to give you a whipping." Now, we always went home praying that dementia would set in. Early onset dementia. Now, we didn't know what to call it, but we sure wanted him to forget what he had said, all right? But there was something about it. He never did that, you know? He never forgot, and there was always that time where he said, "Hey, boys, come here." And we knew what was coming, all right? It was a whipping. Hey, listen, you don't make the mistake of running from God's will. Now, let me say this to you. God's will is not going to change. God's will is not going to change. You run from it, run to it, run around it, not going to change it no matter what you do. God's will is not going to change. Now, you do not have to be in the will of God. You say, "Preacher, did I hear you right?" I'll say it one more time. You do not have to be in the will of God. But you won't be happy if you aren't. You're just not going to be happy as a child of God. And so don't run from that will of God. Jonah knew exactly what the will of God is. He knew what the will of God was for him. He knew that. You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I know what the will of God is for me." But I'll say this to you. Everything you know is God's will. You be sure you do them. You be sure you do everything you know is the will of God. Whatever you know is the will of God, do it. Don't say, "Well, I don't know all the will of God, so I'm not going to worry about the will of God." You better. You better, all right? If you want to be happy, His will not change simply because you don't like it or you won't obey it. It's not going to make it go away. It's not going to make it end. It won't disappear. Don't make the mistake that Jonah did of thinking, "I can run from the will of God." You can't succeed in running from the will of God, all right? You just can't. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you live. It doesn't matter where you live. You just can't succeed running from the will of God. So Jonah made two mistakes. One mistake, he made the mistake of not obeying God. Second mistake was he made the mistake of thinking, "I can run from the will of God." But I'll be honest with you, I think it got even worse. Would you look in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Jonah? Notice what the Bible said. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish." Notice from the, what's that next word? Okay, one more time. What's that word?
Presence
of the Lord. Jonah made the mistake of thinking he could escape the presence of God. He didn't just plan to disobey God. He planned to get completely away from the presence of the Lord. Completely away from the presence of the Lord. What was he thinking? I don't know. I don't know. Jonah's a prophet of God. What in the world would make him think that? Maybe he thought, "Well, if I'll do this, the Lord will leave me alone. He won't bother me again. So I'll just take off and I'll not only run from the will of God, but I'm going to escape the presence of God." Now, I hope that already in your mind you're thinking, "How foolish. How foolish can you be?" Don't lose your place here, but let's go to Psalm. The book of Psalms, Psalms 139. The 139th Psalm. Now, notice what the Bible said. I mean, here's David. David knew what Jonah didn't, seemingly, all right? He knew better than to think you could run from the presence of the Lord. Look, reading verse 7. Now, unless you're trying to run from God, these are thrilling verses. All right? Now, if you're trying to run from God, these are not exciting verses. But if you love the Lord, trying to serve him, this is great. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Hey, you cannot run from the presence of the Lord. It doesn't matter where you decide, I will flee. I'm going here. Just think about it. You can't hide in the night or in the day, either one. When I was a kid, we loved to play hide and go seek. And we loved to play hide and go seek at night. Because it was a lot better to hide at night, all right? A lot easier to conceal yourself. But when it comes to hiding from God, forget it. You can't do it, all right? Hey, the Bible said you can't hide in the heights or the depths, either one. Doesn't matter if you go to the tallest place, the highest elevation, or you go to the deepest depths, he's there. He's there. Man, you just can't get away from him. You can't hide from him. You can't escape the presence of God. God help us to see that very simply. You said, preacher, why can't we? Because he lives in you. He lives in you. See, if you're a child of God, the person of the Holy Ghost of God lives in you. How do you get away from you? Try running that fast, all right? I'm gonna get away from me. Well, I can't get away from me. I can't get away from me. Some people think, well, I'll do that. No, you just got to put up with you. And you may have to fix you. You can't get away from you, all right? You can't escape the presence of God. Wherever you are, if you're a child of God, he is there. Now, you may crowd him to the farthest corner of your life, but he's still there. He's still there. Jonah made what a mistake. Think he'd get away from the presence of the Lord. Yet I think I see Christians try it today. They get upset. They get put out with God and think, I'll just get away from him. I won't have anything to do with him. I won't go to church and I won't participate in the things of God. Doesn't matter. You can't escape the presence of God. This goes hand in hand with the fourth mistake Jonah made. Jonah made the terrible mistake of thinking that God works the way we do, or that God works the way we want him to. Look in Jonah chapter 4, would you? Jonah chapter 4. Verse 1, the Bible said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee, before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He said, Lord, I knew that's what you're going to do. He said, I knew you're going to send me down here to Nineveh and I'd preach. And because of your great mercy, you were going to extend mercy to these Ninevites, and you were going to allow them to get right with you, and you were going to spare them. And the truth of the matter is, Jonah wanted all of them to die. If you'd let me put it in today's vernacular, I believe Jonah wanted them to die and go to hell. He didn't have any care for them. He didn't like people from Nineveh. They were Assyrians. The Assyrians were the enemies of God's people, all right? I mean, just as big an enemy as it could possibly be. And so Jonah, he made the mistake of thinking that God ought to operate in accordance to the thoughts and the plans of Jonah. And he didn't do it. But he's not by himself. There's tons of people today that feel the same way. Well, God ought to do what he does the way I think he ought to do it. Where in the world did you get that goofy idea? God's not you. He's not a man. He's not a man. Boy, it's a good thing he's not. We'd all been dead. He would have squashed us a long time ago, all right? So it's a good thing he's not, but then we get mad at him because he doesn't do things the way we want him to do, all right? And we think, Lord, you should do what I want you to do. There should never come any rain into the life of myself. Life ought to be wonderful. Life ought to be good. I mean, our Lord, and by the way, there's some turkeys that preach this doctrine that if you're right with God and you're free from sin, you'll be healthy and you'll be wealthy, and you can almost command God to turn on the spigot to make you wealthy and to keep you healthy. And they'll teach and preach, if you're sick, then you got some demon inside you that is a lie out of hell. It's just wrong, okay? No two ways about it. It is just dead wrong. But a lot of people look at it that way and they think, hey, since that's the case, God ought to do it the way I want to. I remember a teenage girl down here in the trailer park down in the way down in the bottom part there. She quit coming to church. She had been coming to church as a teenager and been coming for a good while, riding the bus, and went to see her, and she said, well, God let my grandpa die. My grandpa was a good person, and if God let my grandpa die, I'm done. God doesn't work the way you think he should. Look, if I tried to tell her, if grandpa's a good person, if he knew the Lord, if he's saved, I said, God took him to heaven. And what you're saying is you didn't want him to go to heaven unless it's on your plan. You say, well, preacher, she's a teenager. She's just a kid. Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of people that are long out of teenage years that still think the same goofy thoughts. Hey, if it doesn't happen the way I think it is, then it shouldn't be done. Hey, we ought to know by now the Lord doesn't do things our way. Doesn't do things our way. If he did, we wouldn't be saved. If we did it the way we think it ought to be done, we wouldn't be saved. I'll be honest with you, if I was God, there wouldn't be such thing as eternal security. Mess up, I'll nail you, buddy. You're out, okay? It's a good thing I'm not God. And by the way, I sure am glad I'm not, okay? I'm glad he doesn't operate the way I do. But we need to realize that God's not going to change his ways to suit us. His ways are right. You with me? His ways are right. He never makes a mistake. Never makes a mistake. All that he does is best for us. You say, well, I can't see it. That's a different situation. I might not be able to see it, but doesn't change the fact. Doesn't change the fact, okay? Just because I can't see it doesn't change the truth. God, what he does is always right. It's always best for us. Never makes a mistake. What he did here with Jonah, it was God's plan for Jonah to go preach and then to leave everything up to God. To leave everything up to God. Can I say this to you? Our job is to obey and leave the rest with the Lord. Just leave the rest with the Lord. It's for us to do what the Lord wants us to do and leave the rest of it up to him. It's his business. It's his business. There's things that I wish I could make people do, but I can't make people do them. But all I can do is give them the truth, and they have the opportunity. All you and I can do is to obey what God says for us to do. Trust and obey, leave it in his hands. Leave it in his hands. If he decides to do it the way maybe we thought he would or should, great. If not, great. He's God. He's God. Hey, listen, are you making mistakes in life? Are you making the same mistake Jonah made? Do you make this mistake of thinking you can disobey God and get away with it? You really think you can? You think, I can disobey God and get away with it? You know, you have a chance. You have a chance of disobeying man and getting away with it. But you can't get away with it with God because he sees you. Guarantee you he sees you. Do you think, well, I can run from the will of God? You don't have to be in it, but you won't be happy if you're not in it. Well, don't make the mistake of thinking you can run from it. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you can escape the presence of God. He'll always be there. Whatever you do, don't make the mistake of thinking God works it out our way. He's in control. He's in control. Man, just a very simple, simple message tonight. But hey, it's the simple things sometimes catch us. It's the simple things that trip us up. It's those simple things where we fall down. It's not the detailed, intricate deals. It's the simple things. I watched a little bit of football yesterday. Very, very little bit. But one of the things they were talking about, this one particular team, and they said, this team, man, they've got the fundamentals down. They tackle right. They know how to tackle. They know how to do the... It's those simple things. It's the simple things. You can have all kinds of intricate plays. All right? Coach can design a play, man, and got everybody going all over the field. Not like it was when we played sandlot ball and we get in a huddle. Guy that's a quarterback said, everybody go out for a pass. That was the plan. Now it's take off, you know. And he didn't know where you were going and you didn't know where you were going, but that's all right. Hey, the coach can draw up all these intricate plans and details, but while that quarterback has the ball and he's waiting for all those people to get right where they're supposed to be, all it takes is one guy to miss the simple, elementary thing of how to block, and the play gets destroyed. All right? Hey, it's the simple things trip us up. Are you making mistakes tonight? Are you making some mistakes about what you're doing? You're making a mistake thinking I can disobey God. Boy, you can't. You can't get out of the will of God and be happy. Can't do it. Can't run from his presence. Cannot do it. He's not going to work the way you think he should. He's not going to do it. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Or just very simple message, simple truth. Jonah made some mistakes, and we might look